Support us by supporting our sponsors, Built Bar, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. My name is Joe DiBiase. Three podcasts in a row. I'm doing this podcast in a different chair, different computer, different microphone.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin, and sports once again beat me up last night.
And this is the Locked On Sabres podcast. Can I guess at what sport beat you up? It wasn't golf, I don't think. You're not playing hockey right now, given where you are. So I'm gonna guess tennis.
Oh no, I meant sports beat me up last night because my team.
Oh, I see. I thought you played sports last.
No. The hockey would beat me up for sure.
Your Utah Jazz.
The Utah Jazz beat me up. I mean, yes. Blowing a 3-1 lead in anything stinks. I didn't expect them to even be in that position. I thought they played like above what their level was, considering that their second best player was hurt and not playing. But you know, it is what it is. It was a game, man. They play hard. I'll give them that. Like they put their all in. I mean, they looked cooked in the first half, and then they clawed, literally scratched and clawed their way back into that game.
Jordan Hanskin can be a hockey coach. That's what I'm getting out of this. Scratch and claw, work hard.
Donovan Mitchell is super good, but besides that, there was not much. There was not much left.
That guy's a superstar.
Well. I'll say that. Mike Conley did play well.
Yes.
In the series. I thought, but he's still like, he's 33, you know, he's on the bounce. The Nuggets definitely have the better, they have two guys. Like, I thought Gobert was good in the second half, but he's still so limited. He can only do so much.
Yeah. I was very harsh on that series at the end of it. I think it's because game seven, I was just so frustrated that game got sucked into like 1980s basketball. Like I felt like I was watching the New Jersey Devils like play in the early 2000s in that game. But if you really look back on the series, at the end of the day, it was two star young players going back and forth all series. Like, how can you ask for better than that?
I think game 1, 4, 5, and 6 are all pretty tight games.
Yes.
Like, game 1 went to overtime. Mitchell scored 57, which is a Jazz record, and still lost. And then, like, Jamal Murray, I think, in game 4 had, like, a 50-point game, and he lost. And it was just, like, 5 and 6 were kind of the same thing. There was just two and 3 were blowouts, and the game last night was, what do you call it, a kind of a flashback to 1992.
Yes.
Just, like, a little, literally a bloodbath. I was entertained. It's just that my teams don't win. Here's to the White Sox and the Bills coming up.
So the NBA playoffs rolls along. The NHL playoffs roll along, by the way. We're recording this on Wednesday night. We've got only one game on Wednesday, Avalanche and Stars. Dallas is looking to advance to the conference finals. We have the Flyers extending their series with the Islanders, despite blowing a 3-1 lead with 2.5 minutes to go. They rally. They win it in overtime. They're going to game 6. Tampa's advanced. The Canucks push Vegas to a game 6. So we've got plenty of playoffs to continue to talk about, but we've got a lot of Sabres to get to on today's episode. Later on, Jordan's going to do his Sudoku inspired by Down Goes Brown, Sean McIndoe from The Athletic. He took a stab at it. He thinks I can't beat it. So I'm going to hear what his is, and then I'm going to see if I could, you know, sit down with it a little bit and see if I could beat him with my own team on the next episode. And then I have to name number 11 on our Sabres 50 list. Before we get to those two things, though, there was a very in-depth and good piece that John Vogel wrote at The Athletic on Tuesday about the Sabres Hall of Fame and basically what has been ongoing with the Hall of Fame for the last 8 years. Jordan, we both read this story, and when I first saw the headline, I'm like, oh, here we go. Another thing the Sabres haven't been keeping track of that they're just kind of ignoring, being lazy about. And you look back on now the last 8 years, or 6 years, I should say, without any inductees since Dominic Hasek. And basically the gist of Vogel's story is that the Hall of Fame almost doesn't exist. It doesn't exist anymore. And even though there's no one that like desperately needs to get into the Hall of Fame, I don't know, man. Reading that story, I don't know how you could let something as I don't want to say as important as the Hall of Fame, but it's your Hall of Fame. Like, how could you go years and years without recognizing that it's just kind of been untouched?
I think the fact that it was only operated kind of by one guy, like there was just one guy keeping it going, is wild to me. That the organization doesn't have the initiative or, you know, the foresight to be like, you know, let's have like a committee for this. Let's have a lot of people involved. Let's try to make this the best thing that we can be. It just shows the apathy that they have for the fans, in my opinion. Like, it's just something that they don't really care. Like, oh, we have this great, we could have this great Hall of Fame. Let's just have, let's have Bob do it. And it's like, I mean, he passed away. And they didn't have anyone to kind of fill the gap, it sounds like. And, I think that's a shame. You know, it was kind of just this one guy's, like, project. And they didn't really prepare for, you know, what happens in the future.
Yeah, Bob Swados is the guy that you're referring to that's referred to plenty of times in the story. He died in 2012. He was the chairman of the hall. And you're right. Like, basically, when you read the story, it sounds like he's the only person operating it. There's a committee. There are guys who vote on it. Scotty Bowman was one of them. Bowman says he hasn't been contacted in 10 years about the Hall of Fame. And even he says when Hasek went in 2014, he doesn't remember a vote. Like, of course, nobody was going to object to Dominic Hasek going in the Sabres Hall of Fame. He was number one on our Sabre list. He's probably the best Sabre of all time. So no one would have disputed that. But, hey, if you want to put Ryan Miller in one day, you want to put Jason Pominville in one day, Lindy Ruff, for sure. I can't believe Lindy Ruff's not already even in it. Well, I guess I can, reading this story. It was one guy's operation. They didn't really give it to anybody. They didn't have anyone oversee it. And now we're left here just wondering what the future is of us, the Sabres Hall of Fame, which shouldn't feel that difficult, right? Like, you've got guys that will vote. You put a little on ice ceremony together. How difficult can that be for once a season? And you keep a list on your website. You know, like, that doesn't sound like something that would be all that difficult and that you would have to invest a ton of money into.
No, it shouldn't be too hard. And it should just be something that they should want to do for the fans. Like, For all the torment they put us through, like, throw the fans a bone, give them more to do at the arena, more to do just around, like in the off season. Like, hey, let's go to the Sabres Hall of Fame. Like, actually, like, seek out your alumni and see if they have like memorabilia they'd want to donate. I don't know. I think you could turn it into something pretty cool, and I think they're missing a big opportunity.
Yeah, if you could nominate one person that's not in the Hall of Fame, if I told you you're now in charge of the Sabres Hall of Fame, you can nominate one guy and he's going in, because like that's your entry fee, basically, or your prize for this new gig is that you get to choose someone that's going in. Who are you picking?
I think you got to go with Lindy right now if he's not in.
But see, that's not how I would think about it.
Like a guy that they would never put in.
Exactly. This is my ticket to get someone in that would never else get in.
Gotcha. Hash.
Jochen Hash. I'm not surprised in the slightest. I'm not sure if the listeners would be. I'm not stunned at all. It's your favorite player growing up. Yeah, that wouldn't be embarrassing to put Jochen Hash in.
He would be completely out of place.
He also would never get in, I think, just on his merit alone.
Well, right. He's not a very exciting in any way
type. Yeah.
So it's just a decent player.
It's almost the perfect selection then by you. I first thought about this question was, well, of course I'm going to choose Max Afinogenoff. He was my favorite player growing up. But, you know, I just to do it because I think the man has his fingerprints all over some future success on this team, some hopeful future
Don't
success.
Don't you dare.
Let's put Tim Murray in that Sabres
Hall
of Fame, baby.
That's insanity. Wall of infamy, right? Tim Murray.
He completed one of the most important seasons in Sabre history, and he accomplished the goal that was – how many GMs in Sabre history can say that what they set out to do at the beginning of the year was accomplished at the end of it? One, Tim Murray in 2015. That's it.
I don't think – I could have done it.
I don't think you could have.
It's not hard. You should take all the good players and you move them elsewhere.
I think you would have crumbled under. You would have crumbled under the peer pressure of Colin Campbell and the NHL. Because
I really care what Colin Campbell has to say.
You say that now, but if he were to like, if the one of the presidents or the main guys at the NHL league office calls you up and he starts grilling you, you never know what you're going to do in that moment. Like, I think it'd be very easy.
He didn't face any punishment. He didn't face anything. He was like this, like he like died on this like hill. Like, he didn't face any punishment. They didn't fine him for anything. They didn't do anything.
He's like Sam Hinkie in the NBA. He's basically He's been banished from the sport.
Yeah, and also Sam Hinkie experiment failed. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, both Tank guys that we like put on this great pedestal. Like, I think the Tank was a good idea, but it's like we put these guys on this pedestal and they built these like teams that have not done anything yet. Like, it could all change. It could change in the future, but right now, I mean, he's like an F minus.
Oh, that's Sam Stinky.
Yeah, that's pretty. I can't think of Tim. I can't think of another funny one. I can't think of what do we call those? Those are like Trumpisms.
Trump, like, yeah, Tim, like, Tim,
Sleepy Eyes Chuck or Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd.
Well, you go ahead. Think of a Trumpism for Tim Murray at some point. And you can start referring to him as that. We'll start throwing some nicknames around. All right. Well, before we get to our Sabres 50 list, Jordan's got a fun little game here that Down Goes Brown, Sean McIndoe of The Athletic, was tweeting about and writing about the other day. It's hockey Sudoku. And I'll let you explain it for it, because I read about it a little bit, but I don't know if I fully have the grasp of it yet. And I also didn't do a team. You not only did it, you have a team together that you say that I will not be able to beat.
Yeah, I think this is the best way to do it. It took me about 10, 15 minutes to come up with this one. So I had like two tries and I was like, that team's not that good. And also it doesn't really fit all that well. Like, I'm kind of forcing the numbers. The game is you have to set up a starting six, goalie, two defensemen, three forwards, and you can only use each number within the top like 0 through 9 once. So what you end up with is you have to have two guys in the single digits and you have to have four double digits. You can use zero. Zero is very helpful. If you're thinking like Sabres and, you know, goaltending, I think that's the best way to do it. Obviously you want to put Hajek 39, but it's a little bit tougher. So what I did is I had my starting line of Rick Martin at 7. Mm-hmm. That's number 7. Jack Eichel is 9. And Danny Briere is 48. My defensemen are Campbell 51, Dahlin at 26, and Miller at 30. I don't think you're getting any better than that.
Okay.
So if you need like help, like you only use like 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Oh, you can only use each number once. There are no doubles. You can't do like Andre Sekera can't be used. Like, I don't know if you would even want there. Robin Regier,
but 44, right?
44 can't be used. If you think of a better, like Danny Paillet can't be used. Jokinen can't be used.
Gilbert Perreault can't be used.
Gilbert Perreault can't be used.
you had Perreault sitting there and used Sekera. I love it. That's pretty funny.
Sekera was on the money. They also plays the money.
That's good save. That's a kick save and a beaut right there. So what was your team again? Miller, Campbell, Dahlin, Briere, Martin, and Eichel.
Yes. I don't think that's beatable.
I kind of want to find a way to incorporate Jack Eichel twice into my thing here.
No, you can't do that.
What do you mean you can't do that?
I don't think you can double the player. I don't think.
Why
you
not?
Can. I don't know. I just feel like it's not right.
It's not in the rules. See, all I was told is can't use both numbers twice. I didn't say I couldn't use a player twice. Well,
I don't know.
All right.
Go ask Sean McIndoe.
All right, I'm gonna take some time with that, and before our next episode, I'm gonna see if I could build a team that is even competitive with yours, and then we'll maybe have the listeners vote on whose team is better. But that, if you say I can't beat it, I trust you that I can't beat it, but I'm going to take a stab at it. But we'll
see. I know the way you're going to try. You're going to try to do Hasek at 39, and you're going to put Eichel at 15. That's going to be your way to. That's going to be your way to beat it. But it's like, okay. 15 Eichel ain't as good as 9 Eichel.
See, that's why I'm not confident I can beat you on this, though, is because you were ready to go with that, and I feel like you've already explored every avenue.
I like I said, I only did it for 10 minutes.
Okay.
I said, this one is as good as I'm going
to
do.
Okay, I'm going to start a time watch, 10 minutes, and that's all the time I'm going to take with it, and then we'll see what I come up with.
There was I did try to find a way to get McGill in. It was tough. Because you lose, yeah.
Right.
You lose 9.
Yeah, you do have a center in Briere already, though. So I guess if you didn't, you don't need Eichel.
He helps, though. He helps boost the stats.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely does. All right, we'll come back with our Sabres 50 list. We have rounded out our top 10. There's a big name left, and I have to get to him here at 11. So we'll do that when we come back. But first, a quick minute for Built Bar. Built Bars are really good. I love Built Bars. I need to get another pack of them because I'm running low. Big fan. 6 new flavors, too, which honestly, actually, I've only had a couple of these. I've had the cookies and cream, which is very good. I've had the caramel brownie, and I've had the cherry barcia. All delicious. I have yet to have lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, or apple almond crisp. It's on my to-do list coming up. And then you get your 12 original flavors as well with Built Bar. Coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, peanut butter brownie. Bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're great for healthy conscious guys, high in protein, low sugar, low calorie, great for keto diets. My favorite flavor, probably still going with the peanut butter brownie. If I could make one suggestion to those out there, that'd be my suggestion. Free cooler with your purchase while supplies last, by the way. So go check it out. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON on top of the cooler. If available, you get $10 off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. Check us out on social media. I'm at Sneaky Joe WGR. Jordan is at JR Hanskin. The podcast is at Locked On Sabres. We are up to number 11 in our Sabres 50 list. If I can do this off of memory real quick here. Number 1 was Dominic Hasek. Number 2 was Gilbert Perreault. Number 3 was Lindy Ruff. Number 4 was Rick Jeanneret. Number 5 was the Knoxes. Number 6 was Rob Ray. Number 7 was Rick Martin. Number 8 was, who's number 8? It's escaping me. I know number 9 is Danny Gare. Number 10 was Rene Robert. Number 8 is escaping me for some reason, though. Ryan Miller. You had Ryan Miller at number 8. I got to get to him here at number 11. The fans have been yelling for him to be the nominee since 4. Like when we put these polls up on at Locked On Sabres asking people who they think should be the next nominee, LaFontaine has been winning the poll since number 4. So I have to get to him here at 11. I don't really know why he fell. We kind of discussed it. Like we tried to find out in our last episode, me and you kind of brought up how he hired Tim Murray. And we don't need to get bogged down in another Tim Murray debate because we'll last forever on that, as you could probably tell by listening to our last segment. But maybe it was the hiring of Tim Murray. I didn't really think about that when I didn't pick him. But I don't know. Like, I don't think about him at all as the president of the team. I don't think that matters at all to what he was as a Buffalo Sabre. I mean, it's kind of just it's an afterpoint that I don't think about.
So weird. It was a weird few months.
It was weird. So, it was very weird. And the departure was as weird as anything. I'm hoping there's a book someday that somebody writes to explain it because it's so confusing. But I don't know. What do you think made him fall this far? Was it the concussions, the fact that he didn't stay healthy? Was it that he was only here for 6 years? Because, I mean, 6 years, I know it's not, you know, Perreault was here for how long? Like 18? Like, it's not forever, but 6 years is also not nothing. I don't know. Do you have any reason? Is the franchise record for points in the season with 148? Like, holy cow, 95 assists in one season. He was an incredible player. He was arguably the best center at his peak in team history. I would not make that argument. I would say Perreault at his peak, even at his peak, was better than LaFontaine at his peak. But I think it's very close. So do you have any thought as to why he fell to 11 here?
I think he fell to 11 because, you know, like you said, he wasn't. I don't think he was the best center in the Sabres history. So he has to be lower than Perreault. He wasn't, you know, Rob Ray was the best fighter or like made a huge impact on the fan base. So he's lower than him. I thought Miller, my opinion, being the winningest goalie, meant a little bit more. I wanted to, and I just felt like the French connection with Rene Robert, and the fact that Robert does lead LaFontaine in like all-time points and goals and assists and the Sabres, I think that just mattered a little bit more. I think that he's well deserving of being a top 10 player. I think he is. If you're ranking by talent, like for sure, he's top five. But it's not really based off talent, you know. And I think 11's a fitting spot. Maybe a little bit lower than he should be, but you know, it's not like it's bad. He's still like an amazing Saber, legendary Saber.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe the injuries too. I mean, if you look at the stretch, 16 games, 22 games, that's in 94 and 95, 13 games in 97. I mean, the concussion issues, the not being able to stay healthy. I mean, that derailed the Sabres for really four or five years, where you could have had seasons in there where you were competing for Stanley Cups, and you just, you know, LaFontaine not being there, that killed you. He was your number one center. Imagine if Eichel in the next 4 years were to play three seasons where his game totals were 16, 22, and 13. I mean, that would take you.
Don't put that on us.
I'm knocking on wood. That would take you out of everything. I mean, they're already basically taken out of everything because they're from their incompetence. But yeah, number 11, we should really be talking about how great he was, because playmaker wise, him with McGillney, that 92-93 season, I mean, he was unbelievable. Right. And he deserves to be mentioned as a legend here. His number's in the rafters for a reason. No one will ever wear 16 again. It's deserved. And, you know, the trade to bring him here, you know, they gave up a lot. It's a hockey trade. Pierre Turgeon for Pat LaFontaine. I mean, both two guys to put up monster numbers. It's a trade that doesn't really happen anymore. I mean, Turgeon had 100 points and then 79 points, and the Sabres traded him. Like, when does that happen? But it happened then. And, you know, for a trade of that magnitude, I might want to declare the Sabres won that trade. You know, the Islanders had Turgeon for a couple more years. He did have 132 points that same season. The LaFontaine had 148. But I don't know. I'm not ready to be very hot takey with that. It was a pretty even trade, it seems like. But yeah, Pat LaFontaine, a legend, and he is number 11 on our Sabres 50 list. All right, I'm going to take a stab at Sabres Sudoku. We'll see if I can match Jordan on our next episode. We've got more playoffs to talk about. We're going to start getting into some player profiles. We'll start evaluating players on the team, what we think about them coming back, free agents, and really not just coming back, but players that are under contract and what their future is with the team. We'll start going player by player as we progress throughout the Sabres offseason here. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and check us out tomorrow. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnSabres, at SneakyJoeWJR, and at JRHan. It's been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.